This evening for our scripture reading, we read two parts of Psalm 119. We're going to look at one of those parts, but before we do that, we'll read a different one. And we're going to read first from verses 161 to 168. Psalm 119, verses 161 to 168. The psalmist says, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee." Then we turn back to verse 97, and tonight we're going to look at verses 97 through 104 of Psalm 119. Verse 97, "Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. For through thy commandments, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." We read this far in God's holy and inspired word. 2 weeks ago, beloved, I preached on the question of Jesus to Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And we concluded with 6 questions that are the evidence of our love for God. First, do you praise God? Second, do you seek God's presence? Third, do you love the Word of God? Fourth, do you love God's people? Fifth, do you pursue holiness and hate ungodliness? And finally, do you obey the commandments of God? And what I propose to do tonight and in the coming weeks is to preach on each of those questions from different passages in Scripture. And tonight we want to begin with the most basic of them all. Do you love the Word of God? That's a very important question for us, because believers are called those who love God. That's a beautiful description of the believer. Romans 8, verse 28, we know that all things work together for them, for good to them that love God. And in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, "Eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has it ever entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him." And as those that love God, we will love, first of all, the Word of God, because the God of the Word and the Word of God cannot be separated from one another. This is important. This is the characteristic of true Christianity, that you love God. And out of that, you will love first the Word of God. We don't know exactly who wrote Psalm 119. It could have been David. It was very likely a young man. In verse 9, he asks one of the most profound questions in all of Scripture, one that we sang a little while ago. How shall the young cleanse his way? How shall the young, and not only the young, but the old, anyone? How shall anyone keep his life holy? And the psalmist writes this whole beautiful psalm on the Word of God. This is the Word of God's commentary on itself. Every verse in the psalm, except one, makes a reference in some way to the Word of God. There are many synonyms used in this psalm for the Word of God. Listen to some of them: the Word, the Law, the Precepts, the Decree, the Commandments, the Testimonies, the Ordinances, the Judgments, the Paths, the Name of the Lord. All synonyms in this psalm used in the different verses to say something about the Word of God. 175 verses, and each of them saying something different about the Word of God, each giving a unique perspective. Because the Word of God is like a multifaceted diamond. Beautiful. And that's what you have here in this psalm, a beautiful psalm. It has 22 sections. It's an acrostic psalm. That is, each new section, the verse in each new section, begins with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's very complex. There are 8 verses in each section. All of the ones in the first section begin with Aleph, the first Hebrew letter. All of them in the second begin with Beth, the second Hebrew letter, and so on, all the way through the psalm. And that shows us the complexity of Scripture, not only, but the precision of Scripture. Every letter, every word is carefully accounted for by God who inspired the Scriptures. And so tonight, we want to look at this question: do you love the Word of God? Do you love the Word of God? From the point of view of this passage where the psalmist proclaims, "Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day." Our theme will be, "How love I thy law." We'll consider first the affection that the psalmist has, second, the reasons that the psalmist gives, and then third, the deepest reason for love for the Word of God. The psalmist expresses first in verse 97 his affection, his deep affection for the Word and the law of God. It's a great exclamation. There's a sense of the psalmist rising up from his inner being, "Oh, how love I thy law." He exclaims his love for the law of God. Now, you love the Word of God. You love the law of God. That's why you come to hear the Word of God. And the psalmist is going to help us, help you tonight, to articulate, to express your love for the law of God and why you love the law of God. Perhaps it's not so easy to put that into words here. The psalmist puts it into words for us. Let's understand, first of all, what he means by the law of God. How love I thy law? The psalmist is not limiting his love here to the commandments of God, to the Ten Commandments, but the word law here is much broader. In fact, this is the word that the saints in the Old Testament used to refer to the Scripture as they knew it. Their Scripture was the first 5 books of the Old Testament, what we call the books of Moses: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And that was called by the Jews, and is still called by the Jews today, the Torah, or the law. And that's what the psalmist is saying. I love the Word of God, the written revelation of the Word of God. The synonyms that he uses in the psalm teach us that. He uses all these different words to refer not just to the commandments of God, but to the Word of God, to the law, as that was the Scriptures in the Old Testament. The Word of God. Now, what is the Word of God? Well, first of all, it's a word that comes from God. That is, God is the source and God is the origin of the Word. In verse 102, the psalmist says, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. And he's saying this, that as he looks at the law of God and reads the Word of God, the Scriptures, he understands he's not just being taught by a priest, he's not just being taught by a Levite, he's not just being taught by Moses who wrote those words, but God Himself is teaching him when he hears the words of the Scripture. This is the Word of God is a Word that comes from God. All the words, all the ideas, all that's recorded, God Himself has carefully selected and put down verbally, word for word, as He desired it to be written. This goes back to the doctrine of Scripture, 1 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But it's not only a word that comes from God, it's also a word about God. It's a word in which God speaks and reveals Himself, speaks about Himself. He's the content of the Word. The Word is a revelation about Him and His being, His character, His works, His promises, His blessings, His people. The Word of God is the revelation of God Himself. And God cannot be separated from the Word, because this is a word all about God Himself. And what this says, it says to us about God. This is not a book about man. This is not a book written by man. This is not a book given to us first so that we can understand man. But this is a book about God so that we can know Him. It's His self-revelation. Now the psalmist says, "How love I thy law." That's not an isolated statement in the psalm. If you go back to verse 48, the psalmist says there, "My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved." In verse 113, the psalmist says, "I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love." In verse 127, "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." In verse 159, "Consider how I love thy precepts." And then in the verses that we read, verses 162 through 165, he speaks of his love for the Word of God. In fact, this whole beautiful psalm, Psalm 119, is a psalm of his love for the Word of God. His love is deep. His love is sincere. It's not superficial. It comes from the depths of his being. The psalmist's heart thrills at the Word of God. He treasures the Word of God above anything else. Later in this section, in verse 102, 103, the psalmist says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." He finds the Word of God deeply satisfying to him. It's not like reading the Word of God and taking the Word of God for his spiritual health. For our spiritual health is not like taking a bad medicine, a bad tasting medicine, with the hope that someday you'll get better from it. But the Word of God is sweet to the taste. Not only good medicine, but good to the taste. Now this love that the psalmist has for the Word of God and this delight he has in it isn't something that everybody's going to have. It's not going to be every man's response to the Word of God. You have to be regenerated. You have to have an appetite for spiritual things to have this love for the Word of God. Otherwise it will be bitter to the taste. And the unregenerate will come and hear the Word of God or read the Word of God and be bored. The psalmist delights in the Word of God. Now it's important as we look at the psalmist's love here to see that this love is not just a feeling. It doesn't have its beginning in his feelings. These are not just words. It's easy to say that you love the Word of God. The psalmist is doing more than saying that he loves the Word of God. And he gives the evidences in his life of this love for the Word of God. How do we know that he loves the Word of God? How does he himself know that he loves the Word of God? We have that first at the end of verse 97. How love I thy law? It is my meditation all the day. That's a reality in his life. That's what he's talking about. Something that goes on in his life. His mind all day long is stayed on the Word of God. It goes back to the Word of God. This is his preoccupation. As he goes through life, he reflects the experiences of his life back on the Word of God. He's obsessed with the Word of God. His concentration is on the Word of God. He focuses on it. Not just part of the day, but all the day. It's my meditation all the day. And not just some days, not just one day of the week, but every day. It is my meditation all the day. It goes on in his mind. My meditation. His love for the Word of God is not based on his emotions merely, but it's on his understanding and his grasp and his knowledge. And his continual going back to and his growth in the knowledge of the Word of God. The mind is solid and stable. The mind is harder to teach than the emotions, but the mind remembers. Emotions are fickle. They're easily fed and they change easily. The psalmist says, this love has its foundation in my mind. And that's the first evidence that he loves the Word of God. He meditates on it day and all the day long and day and night. In Psalm 100, later in the psalm, he says that seven times a day he praises God because of his righteous judgments. God's Word, he says, is ever with him. In verse 98, through thy commandments hast thou made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. The Word of God is his possession. The Word of God is something that's part of his makeup. He never forgets it. This is the evidence of his love for the Word of God. Do you love the Word of God? If you don't think about the Word of God, if you don't meditate on the Word of God, you don't love the Word of God. But if you think about and you meditate and you reflect your life back on the Word of God, and the Word is what you take with you day in and day out, you love the Word of God. What fills your mind? There's so much garbage that can fill our minds. Images and songs and stories and books and thoughts and anxieties and plans and concerns. And the psalmist says, this is the preoccupation of my mind. It's my meditation all the day, the Word of God. So that's the first evidence. The second evidence that he loves the Word of God, you find in verse 104. He says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Because he loves the Word of God, he hates every false way. Now, sometimes we talk about being desensitized to sin. Homosexuality, adultery, divorce, the pictures that the media uses for advertising, the way that people dress, the words that people use. We talk about being desensitized, and we say, we blame it on this. There's too much of it. We're saturated in it. And we say, because there's too much of it, we have an excuse for not, as the psalmist puts it here, hating every false way. Is that the problem? That we're oversaturated with evil? Not according to the psalmist. What's the problem? That we don't saturate ourselves in the Word of God as we should. The problem is a lack of love for the Word of God and lack of meditating on the Word of God. This is what the psalmist is saying in verse 104, "Through thy precepts I get understanding." That is, his understanding grows and grows and grows as he meditates on the Word of God. And the more that his understanding of the Word of God grows, the more he increases in his hatred for every false way. As he loves the Word of God, he comes to love the things that God loves. His mind becomes one with the mind of God. And so he comes to hate the things that God hates. Love for the Word of God gives us discernment between right and wrong. Love for the Word of God gives us convictions. And those convictions bear on our affections and our desires, so that we desire what's right and we hate every false, every wrong way. Every false way is every way of life that's against, that's different to. Every doctrine, every choice, every action, every word, every thought that's contrary to the Word of God. The psalmist hates them. He doesn't simply reject them. He doesn't simply not incorporate them into his life. But when he runs across every false way, his emotions rise up against them, as the emotions of the just and the holy God rise up against sin. As he loves the Word of God, his mind comes into conformity with the mind of God, and he hates every false way. Do you have that? When you see every false way on the television, when you see it all around you in the world in which you live, every way that's different than the way of the Word of God, when you hear those words that aren't godly words, when those desires spring up in your own soul, they're ungodly, lustful, envious, hateful, do you find that you hate every false way? The person who loves the Word of God will have a holy aversion to sin, will hate every false way. Now, that's language that you won't hear in our day of tolerance, where we're told we're not supposed to hate anything. We're supposed to tolerate and to love and to allow anything and everything. In this past week, there was a bill, and it was passed in the U.S. House. A bill against those who preach against sexual orientation, which is not according to the Word of God. And this was the bill. If a pastor or someone in a public meeting preaches against homosexuality and that incites some kind of violent reaction in somebody who's guilty of that vile sin, the guilt for the crime isn't on the one who committed the crime, but on the one who dared to preach from the Word of God against it. And you can be criminalized now for saying things like that if they incite violence. We're told we have to tolerate. Is the psalmist desensitized? Is the psalmist tolerant? He says, because he loves the Word of God, he hates every false way. These are the evidences of his love for the Word of God. Where does this tolerance come from in the church today? Well, it comes from a lack of love for the Word of God. Today you find not only tolerance preached in the world, but tolerance preached in the church today. It's allowed. Many false ways that are against the Word of God are not only allowed, but promoted. Just think of ecclesiastical life. Women in office, for example. Or homosexual membership in the church. Or office bearers even. Where does it come from? It comes from churches, seminaries, preachers, individuals who don't love the Word of God. If they loved the Word of God, they would hate every false way. The more we saturate ourselves in the Word of God, the more we will hate every false way. Now, all these evidences are in the heart of the child of God. It's easy to say that you love the Word of God. It's easy to do the things that show to others that you seem to have a love for the Word of God. The psalmist is talking about what goes on in his own mind, in his own heart. He loves the Word of God because of that. He dwells on the Word of God. He lives out of the Word of God. And he hates in his heart, when he sees it, every false way. Jesus said to Peter, "Lovest thou me?" We can put this question alongside of it. Do you love the Word of God? Because God and His Word cannot be separated. Lovest thou me? Do you love the Word of God? If you're lukewarm towards the Word of God, you don't love God. If you're lukewarm towards Christ and towards the gospel and towards Christ, it's because you're lukewarm towards the Word of God. Oh, how love I thy law. Now the psalmist gives reasons for his love for the Word of God. And it's good for us to look at these reasons, because as you love the Word of God, do you know why you love the Word of God? Can you put that into words? And the psalmist puts it into words for us here in the text. The first reason is given in verses 98 through 100. And the reason is this, that the Word of God gives to him a remarkable insight into all the issues of life and death, of time and eternity. The Word of God gives him a remarkable insight into all those things. He compares the wisdom and the understanding that he has to the wisdom and the understanding first of his enemies. The psalmist has enemies, and he has enemies because he loves the Word of God. Anyone who loves the Word of God will have enemies. People who hate the Word of God will hate those who love the Word of God. But there's kind of a stair-like stepping here. In the next verse, he says, I have more understanding than all my teachers. That's strange. A student knows more than a teacher. And then in the next verse, he says, I understand more than the ancients. That could mean the elderly, or it could mean those of a previous generation whose wisdom has been recorded, whose knowledge has been put down. The psalmist is saying, because I have the Word of God, I have more wisdom, I have more understanding than my enemies who oppose me, my teachers and the ancients. Now, he's not talking about more head knowledge than them. No, he's talking here about those who are the wisest and the most knowledgeable according to the wisdom of the world, my teachers, college professors, experts in areas of knowledge. He's saying, I have more knowledge, more understanding, more wisdom than them. The ancients, the elderly, who have gone through all the experiences of life, I have more knowledge, more wisdom, more understanding than them. This is what he means. The enemies, the teachers, and the ancients don't have the Word of God. And because they don't have the Word of God, there's no depth to their knowledge. There's no application of their knowledge to life and death, to time and eternity. But the one who has the Word of God has wisdom, has understanding, has the answers to the great questions of this world, of this life. There are great questions. You'll find that out. Why is there sin in this world? Why is there crime in this world? Why are there poor people in this world? Why are there disasters that happen in this world in which thousands are killed? Why? Those are the questions that the teachers and the ancients of this world are always trying to answer. Why is there war? Why do cultures and societies rise and fall? Why? And historians study it. Scientists study it. They analyze it. They put all the information out there. But they don't have the answers. This is what the psalmist is saying. Because he has the Word of God, he has more understanding than the scientist, the historian, the mathematician, the doctor. Because he has the Word of God. And what is the wisdom? What's the understanding? Well, it's a wisdom and an understanding that the smallest child can have. This past week, the media made a big hype, and they still are, about what's called the swine flu. And it's a great scare. And they speak of it in terms of it being an epidemic, and they're afraid. The smallest child can hear all that fright, all that scare. The smallest child who has faith can say, but God is in control. And He knows more. He has more wisdom. He has more understanding than all the scientists and all the media and all the doctors. And all the people looking back in history to find things like this. When he says, but God is in control. He has more understanding, more wisdom than all of them. That's what the psalmist means. When we have the Word of God, when we have the God of the Word, we have wisdom, we have understanding. Because we see things not just as they are, observing, analyzing. But we see things as they are in the context of God the Creator, and His eternal purposes for us. We see things in relation not only to time, but to eternity. And that's the wisdom that comes from the Word of God. What's wisdom? Literally, the word means skillful living, and the idea is the ability to apply what you know to life. It's different than knowledge. Wisdom, understanding. The psalmist says, I have more wisdom, more understanding than all the ancients and than all my teachers, because he has the Word of God. And that makes him love the Word of God. That's what he's saying here. How love I thy law? Why? Well, it gives me more understanding, more insight, more answers. What a reason to love the Word of God. Well, the world is scurrying about trying to find an answer for the economic crisis, for health crisis, for natural disasters. We have the Word of God. What a reason to love, to meditate on the Word of God. The second reason the psalmist gives in verses 101 and 102 when he says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. Now, this is what the psalmist is saying, that the word has a sanctifying and a restraining power in his life. There are two ways through life. There is the broad way of pleasure and of sin that leads to destruction. And there is the narrow way of obedience that leads to blessing and life eternal. And the psalmist is saying here not only that as a child of God he desires to follow the narrow way, but as a child of God, he doesn't stray from the narrow way. He keeps on the narrow way. I have not departed from thy judgments, he says. And the thing that keeps him on that narrow way is the Word of God. Back in verse 9, the psalmist asks, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How does a person keep his life holy? How does he stay on that narrow pathway? And he gives the answer in verse 11 when he says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He's saying this, as he loves the Word of God, as he meditates on the Word of God, he not only finds the answers and gets wisdom, but that Word of God has a restraining effect in his life to keep him in the way of obedience, the narrow path that leads to life and eternal blessing. As he treasures the Word of God, as he internalizes the Word of God, as he possesses the Word of God, as he has it ever with him, as he's taught by the Lord out of the Word of God, he finds the Lord giving him the power, the grace, the strength to resist temptation. You remember the temptations of Jesus. He was hungry and Satan came to him and tempted him. And he answers Satan with the Word of God, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. He's tempted to fall down and to worship Satan. And he says, from the Word of God, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He's tempted to throw himself down from the temple, and Satan even uses the Word of God in the temptation. He'll give his angels charge over thee, and Jesus answers with the Word of God, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Because he meditated on, he internalized, he believed, he loved the Word of God. He had the strength to resist in the hour of temptation. The Word of God will keep you out of trouble. The Word of God will keep you out of trouble. Do you find that in your life? I know this is true too. When we study the Word of God, when we're in the Word of God, that's when the hours of temptation will often be the strongest, because Satan, if we're not meditating on the Word of God, he'll leave us be. We don't have an anchor. We don't have a stay. It's very easy to fall. But when we're loving and meditating on the Word of God, often then Satan will come with the strongest temptations against us. But it's the Word of God then that gives the grace and the power to resist. The Word of God resident in my heart restrains me from sin. It keeps me from going where I shouldn't go. It keeps my eyes from seeing things I shouldn't see, my ears from hearing things I shouldn't hear, my hands from doing things that I shouldn't do. The Word of God, as I know it, as I love it, as I meditate on it, keeps my mouth from saying things that I shouldn't say. The Word of God has this restraining power. And that's because the Word of God is powerful. It's quick. It's sharp. It dominates. Where the Spirit works, the Word of God has power. The psalmist will say, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light on my path." It shows the way, and it keeps us in the way. And this is what the psalmist is saying. This is why I love the Word of God. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Why? Because it keeps from ways of wickedness. It restrains. There's a power in my life. Do you find that? Or are you walking in a way of sin or succumbing to temptation over and over again? If that's the case, let me ask you this question. Do you love the Word of God? And how much is the Word of God in your life? See, very often when we're weak and when we fall, when we're tempted and we succumb, it's because we have very little room in our life for the Word of God. The psalmist says, it will restrain from ways of sin. So that's a reason to love the Word of God. But there's one more reason, greater than all of these. And it's not directly mentioned here in these verses, but it's certainly here in the psalm, and even here in the Old Testament words that are used in reference to Jesus Christ. And in Psalm 119, you find it especially in the very last verse of the psalm. Quite a remarkable ending to such a beautiful psalm. All through this psalm, the psalmist has spoken with confidence, with love, with earnest desire. He loves the Word of God. He walks in ways of righteousness. He desires the way of God's precepts. He's bold. He's strong in his faith. But there's a very humble ending. Verse 176, the last verse of the psalm. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Is that the way you'd expect him to end? This is what he's saying right at the very end. Thy word shows that I need a shepherd, that I need the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And that's what the Word of God does. It brings us to him, and it brings him to us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why we should love the Word of God. That's very clear for us in the New Testament. We understand that very well. The Scriptures are the revelation of God and of the gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself makes that very plain to the disciples in John 5, verse 39. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me. Here's eternal life, and it's Me in the Word of God. He's talking about the Old Testament, who brings eternal life. Luke 24, verse 27, with the travelers on the road to Emmaus, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. Christ is in the Old Testament Scriptures, concealed yet revealed. He's there. And that's why we should love the Word of God. It's the revelation of God, and it's the revelation of the Son of God, Christ. Every page is the gospel, the revelation of the way of salvation. David understood that. We don't know if David wrote this psalm, but David certainly understood that. We sang earlier Psalm 132. Remember, David, how he made thy house his care, because he believed the promises concerning the eternal kingdom of this one who would come, of his sons. And because he believed those promises, he wanted a house built to God, which would be the place of God's dwelling with His people not only, but the place of all the types and the shadows and the sacrifices and the priests and the garments that looked ahead to that Messiah who was to come. David saw the day of Christ, and he believed it, and he loved it. Because he loved it, he obeyed. He loved the Word of God. He wanted the law, the Old Testament law of God, implemented. Because he loved Christ. And this, beloved, this book is the revelation of the Son of God. It's a book all about Him and the way of salvation. It's a book of life. It gives us understanding not only for the issues of life, which the world cannot answer, but it shows us the way to eternal life. And that's an understanding that the world will never have. Oh, how love I thy law. It's my meditation all the day. Isn't that a reason to love the Word of God? Christ is revealed in the Scriptures. And He's life, eternal life for us. How satisfying is the Word of God, sweeter than honey. Amen. Father, we love Thy Son. And because we love Him, we love Thy Word, which is the revelation of Thy Son to us. Help us, Lord, in our lives to give the evidence, not only to others, but in our own hearts, in testimony to ourselves, before Thee, of this sincere love for Thy Word. We thank Thee for what the psalmist has written here. We thank Thee for this beautiful psalm. Lord, may Thy Word be our meditation all the day, every day. Amen.